Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
During the summer of 1904, a very unusual partnership was formed at the St. Louis World's Fair. There was a gentleman whose name was Arnold, and it was a hot, hot day. People were looking for something to cool off, and he offered ice cream. How many ice cream lovers do we have out there? All right, a lot of ice cream lovers. Now, the thing is, people were lined up for what seemed like miles, but Arnold wasn't prepared. He ran out of paper bowls to serve it in. So he has this problem. He doesn't know what to do. Well, right next to him, there is a vendor, a gentleman by the name of Ernest Gambway, and he had a problem also. He was selling a Persian wafer dessert, but no one was buying it. And so, seeing his problem, Ernest had this great idea. He took some warm pastry, and he rolled it into the form of a cone, and then he showed it to Arnold, and he says, "Here, put your ice cream in this." He did, and we had the birth of the wafer cone. That's how the cone started. And there's some people right there. They're eating ice cream cones at the World's Fair at that event. What many people do not realize, and this is in your notes this morning, take a look at your notes, is that when you and I become followers of Jesus, when we receive Christ into our lives, there is a partnership that is formed between us and the Holy Spirit of God. There is a partnership that we enter into where the Holy Spirit comes into union with us. And before Christ, we're just like an empty shell of an ice cream cone. But the Holy Spirit is like the ice cream. The sweet, satisfying Spirit of God fills our life and makes us more than we could have ever been without Him. So if you like ice cream, then you really want to be in touch with your partnership with the Holy Spirit, because that's what He does. He fills us and makes us more than what we can be. I want to welcome you this morning, everyone here in the house who are here for Labor Day and those who are here online. Thanks for being with us as we are in week 3 of our series on the 7 dimensions of disciple making. Back in July, we talked about we want you to win people to Jesus. But we've also learned we just don't make converts. We need to take those people who find Jesus and then help them follow Jesus, where they are now disciples and not just converts. A disciple is someone who is a learner. They're like a pupil who is enrolled, and they are studying, they are growing, they are a follower. And that's what we want to make, people who both find Jesus and follow Jesus. That's our mission. In week 1, we learned about what? How do we make disciples? If you're a disciple, what do you need in your life? You can cheat. It's in your notes. The Bible. Yes, the Bible. And secondly, we need prayer. Bible and prayer are the first two keys. And this morning, I want to talk about a third dimension of discipleship, and that is the Holy Spirit, how we have a relationship, a partnership with the Spirit of God, and new Christians need to be aware of that. When I first became a Christian, it was like, well, Jesus forgives you of your sin so that you can go to heaven. But really, I wasn't told a whole lot more. I didn't realize that when I become saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of me. I have a relationship with Him, and He wants to empower me and guide me and be with me. He's a constant, continual companion. That is what we need to teach new converts so that they become disciples of Jesus. As we talk about partnership, I want you to realize the Holy Spirit is not a silent partner. A silent partner is kind of like in a business arrangement. Here's one person who has all the money. Here's another person who has all the ideas and all the, you know, all the gumption to do it. And so the money partner says, "Here, I'll finance you, and then you just go ahead and you go do what you want to do." Friends, that's not the Holy Spirit. He's not a silent partner. He wants to be your senior partner. In your notes, the Holy Spirit is the senior partner, and we are to follow His lead. He's not just there and we do whatever we want. He needs to be the one that is in charge. If you have your Bibles this morning or your online YouVersion Bible app, look at John chapter 15. We're going to camp out in John chapters 14, 15, and 16 here this morning. And in John 15, Jesus is going to talk about something that's really key to discipleship. In fact, this is right before Jesus is going to the cross. He's finished the Last Supper, establishing communion with the disciples, and now he's going to share with them some teaching. And when you look in John 14, 15, 16, we don't see this teaching anywhere else. So this is something that's brand new, something the disciples have never heard before. And this is what Jesus says, John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So I want you to get this. If you bear fruit, he's going to prune you. How many know what pruning is? It's cutting. Does that sound comfortable?
No.
But if you prune something, it does produce more fruit. My wife and I, when we moved into our first home in Salt Lake City, Utah, there was a little peach tree in the backyard, and there was branches all over the place, and the peaches were hard. We were told if you prune the tree, it will produce good fruit. So we pruned a lot of the branches off. I thought I killed the thing. I really did. But the next year, we had these peaches that were like the size of baseballs or bigger, and they were the sweetest, best peaches we ever had. It was because we pruned, we cut the tree. And there are times when God's going to cut you and I so that our fruit is bigger and it's sweeter. God's in the pruning process. He wants us to bear fruit. Let's go on. It says, verse 3, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. That word remain, it means to abide, to dwell, or to stay. It means to not depart, to continue to be present. So I want you to realize in this verse, there's two parts of remaining. First of all, Jesus remains with us. He doesn't depart. He continues to be present. But then there's a second thing that Jesus said. He said, you need to remain in me. You need to continue in my presence. You need to not depart. You need to be staying with me. That's how we bear fruit, is there's this two-way remaining, abiding. It goes on to say, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you chop off the branch from the main part of the tree, it doesn't produce anything. And Jesus says, if you want to bear fruit, remain in me. Now here's a question for you. Jesus is getting ready to die. He's going to leave the disciples. So how is he going to remain in them if he's leaving them? That's a good question. How is he going to do that? I believe he gives us the answer in chapters 14 and 16, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. But as we talk about bearing fruit, does anyone have another scripture passage that comes to mind? If you're online and you're watching and you can think of a scripture passage that talks about us bearing fruit, go ahead and post that in the chat. What comes to mind when you think of bearing fruit? Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. Let's take a look at that on the screen, Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19 through 21, Paul now is going to talk about the works of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. You could call this the fruit of the flesh, what living in the flesh produces. We're not going to look at those. You can read that yourself later on. But in verse 22, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, we will also walk in the Spirit. In John 15, Jesus talks about if you abide in me, abide in Christ, you'll bear fruit. Now in Galatians 5, Paul says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll bear fruit. Friends, the way that we remain in the Spirit is remain in Christ is by abiding in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And Jesus talks about that because in chapter 15, where he talks about you're the vine and the branches, he sandwiches that between 14 and 16 in those chapters which he talks about the Holy Spirit. So as you think about walking, how many walked out of your bed to the bathroom this morning? Okay, how many walked into the shower? How many walked to the kitchen? How many walked to the closet to get dressed? How many walked to your car? How many, when you got to the church, you walked into the church? Yeah, you've been walking all day long, haven't you? It's been a continual thing now. Maybe if you were in a rush, you maybe ran at certain points. But walking is a continual action that you do part of everyday life, and you probably haven't even thought of it unless you've got a Fitbit or whatever it is, your Apple Watch, and you're counting your steps. Oh, I'm only at 1,000. I got, 9,000 more to go. But you don't think much about walking. It's just an action that naturally takes place. And so we need to be in that kind of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that everywhere we go, there's this partnership together. There's this relationship that we have. We're walking with the Spirit. He indwells us. He lives inside of you. You maybe don't realize that, but He is here this morning in you. Look at your neighbor and say, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, that's only true if you're a follower of Jesus. If you're not a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit doesn't live inside of you. We're going to look at this morning at this awesome, beautiful partnership God has given us with the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at a few different areas. Look at number one in your notes this morning. What is the Holy Spirit? He is our helper. He is our helper who is always with us. I heard about a husband who made a 911 call for his wife, and his wife had been attacked by a warthog, okay? This is how the call goes. He calls up, dispatcher answers, 911, what's your emergency? And he says, yeah, my wife got attacked by a warthog. I need you to send an ambulance. And the dispatcher says, okay, sir, what's your address? He goes, 1850 Eucalyptus Drive. The dispatcher says, spell that. There's a pause. He doesn't know how to spell eucalyptus, all right? He says, I'll just drag her on over to Oak Street and you can pick her up there. Have you ever had help like that before? Someone's going to help you and I'm just going to drag you two blocks on over to Oak Street because I know how to spell that, That's not the kind of help the Holy Spirit gives us. He gives us good help. We're going to talk about that kind of help today. That word, helper. It says in John 14, 16 to 17, I'll pray the Father, He will give you another helper. That word another, in the Greek language, they had two words for another. One was another of a different kind. One was another of the same kind. And the kind that is used there is another of a same kind. So Jesus is saying, the same kind of helper I've been to you, that's the kind of helper the Holy Spirit's going to be. Everything I've been to you, I've walked with you, talked with you, taught you, been your friend, comforted you, chastised you, pointed out when you've been right and wrong, empowered you. That's what the Spirit's going to be. You're going to get a helper of another kind. And so he says, another helper that he may abide with you forever. He indwells you. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That word helper is paraclete, and that means one who comes alongside to give aid. One who's right there at your side. And there were several nuances that this word had. Letter A in your notes, the first nuance that paraclete had was that of a battle partner. Okay? That of a battle partner. Not someone you battle against, okay? But someone that battles with you. It was an ancient Greek word that a warrior term for that they used for soldiers. In the book Healing the Masculine Soul by Gordon Dalby, he writes that Greek soldiers went into battle in pairs, so when the enemy attacked, they could draw together back to back, covering each other's blind side. One's battle partner was the paraclete. And neither battle partner was ever given a different mission. They were always given the same mission. They were never split up. They were always a team, even if it meant your partner was facing certain death, you stuck with them. That's the paraclete. And friends, that's the Holy Spirit to you and I. He is our battle partner. He goes into every battle that you and I are facing. We are never alone. He's got your back. He's covering your blind side. And the great thing is that greater is He who is in me. And who do we just read about in John? Who dwells in us? The Holy Spirit. Yeah. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. We have the omnipotent Spirit of God living inside of us, doing battle with us, and He causes us to always triumph in Christ Jesus. We are victorious if we are walking in the Spirit, if we're remaining in the Spirit of Christ, if we are saying, I want this partnership, I am aware, I'm in this presence of the Holy Spirit, He's always with me, He'll do battle with you. That's the first way that He helps us. The second way that He helps us is like a legal counselor, like a lawyer. Just as a lawyer gives advice, he's a mediator between you and the court and the judge. He intercedes and pleads your case. He defends you. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Just as a lawyer knows all the ins and the outs of the law, the legal technicalities, and helps you navigate that. I've never had to do some legal work in business or a contract or something, and the lawyer puts all the junk in there that needs to be right, and what could be an easy agreement of one paragraph turns out to be 20. How many know what I'm talking about, huh? Because He's covering all the bases. The Holy Spirit, He navigates all the technical difficulties of life, and He gives us advice, and He helps us. He also prays for us. We're told in Romans, He intercedes. Romans 8:26, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. So He's praying for you. He's interceding to the Father on our behalf. And He defends us. When Satan comes as the accuser of the brethren, and he wants to put shame on us, ridicule, condemnation, feelings of worthlessness, of being inadequate, the Spirit of God stands up against him, and He will share with us thoughts that you are made in the image of God, that you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, that there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you things to defend you against all of the accusations that the enemy brings to you. He's our defense. And then the last way He helps us is that He's a comforter. That word helper, it means comforter. It means consoler. That's why sometimes when you read different versions of the Bible, it'll say He gives another comforter. I remember growing up, there was a song we sang, the Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Spirit from heaven, the Father has given. We have someone who comforts us. When you're going through a difficult time, and there was a lot of you who raised your hand when the word came today, we talked about a foundation, you raised your hand saying, I'm going through a difficult time, I need that foundation. The Holy Spirit wants to be your comforter in this situation. He wants to take away your fear, take away your anxiety. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you the ability so when you lay your head on the pillow at night and you close your eyes, you're not up for hours, but you fall asleep and you have a sweet rest. The Holy Spirit wants to comfort you and I. He's our battle partner. He's our legal counselor. He's our comforter. That's a trifecta that the world can't defeat. He is our helper, and He's here to help you. We need to remain in the Spirit. Let's take a look at another thing about our partner this morning. The Holy Spirit, He's our teacher who shows us what to do. He's our teacher who shows us what to do. Jesus taught that in John 14, verse 26. He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you." Now, that's not just teaching for knowledge, okay? That's teaching for action. Teachers, they show you how to do math so that you can do it. That you can add, subtract, multiply, divide. That you can figure out the Pythagorean theorem. I'm not going to ask how many know that, all right? But I have used that in my life before. Squaring up a deck, it helped, okay? Teachers show you things so that you can act on them. They teach you how to read and write so that you can read and write. They teach you history so you can learn from the mistakes of the past, and that as a nation, we don't follow those same mistakes that socialist countries and other things do. We don't do too good of a job of that all the time. But teachers teach not for knowledge, but for action. And so the Holy Spirit wants to teach us what to do. You think of the early church. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. Do they know how to lead the church? Do they know how to organize the church? Do they know how to deal with conflict and all the issues they were going to face? No, they didn't have a leadership course. They didn't go to John Maxwell. They didn't pick up a leadership book by Puzes and Cosner. They didn't have anything, but they had the Holy Spirit who taught them what to do. The Holy Spirit showed them how to navigate issues, how the disciples are being overwhelmed, taking care of all, feeding the widows, doing benevolence, leaving prayer and the word. He showed them what they needed to do, and the Holy Spirit teaches us what to do. The Holy Spirit, He's been my teacher in ministry. There have been times I've been faced with conflict situations, and I'm going, God, I have no idea what to do. And so I pray, I've waited on the Spirit, and He's shown me what to say, He's shown me what to do, He's given me Bible passages, He's given me even the exact words of what to say in situations. And there have been times when in that conflict situation, someone said something, and I had no answer. And I knew it was my turn to talk. I opened my mouth, and boom, it was right there. The Holy Spirit has taught me. He's taught me how to handle money, how to make financial decisions when I've had those problems. He's taught me about what to do for my health issues or my wife's health issues. He's taught me what to do in family situations, dealing with things in parenting or in marriage. The Holy Spirit has been my teacher, and He wants to teach you. When you encounter a situation you don't know what to do, go to Him, and better yet, before you even get into a situation, approach yourself as you go to the word and prayer, those two things that make disciples that we talked about the last 2 weeks, and say, okay, Holy Spirit, show me what to do for my marriage today. Show me what to do in parenting my kids today. Show me what to do in my ministry, in my job, at my school. Teach me what to do. He'll be your teacher. Involve Him in your life. Partner with Him in every aspect of your life. Don't exclude Him. Don't make Him a silent partner, but let Him speak into everything that's going on. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said, "When they arrest you, don't worry about what you're going to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Do you realize the Holy Spirit can give you the words to say? Even someday, if in America we come to persecution and we're taken to trial and we're being tried for following Christ, He gives us the words for every situation. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 4, when Moses said, I can't talk, God. And what does God say to him? "I'll be with your mouth. I'll teach you what to say. I'll be with your mouth, and I'll show you what to do." The same Spirit that helped Moses part the Red Sea, take on Pharaoh, bring water out of a rock, bring manna from heaven for 40 years, is the same Spirit who can show you what to do in every dilemma you face in your life. Partner with the teaching Holy Spirit this morning. All right, let's look at number three today. Number three, the Holy Spirit, another thing He does for us as our partner is He is our convictor who impresses upon us what is right and wrong. He's our convictor. He impresses upon us what's right and wrong. You know, we like to be taught. We like a battle partner. We like a comforter. But don't tell me where I'm doing anything wrong, man. Right? Have you ever encountered people like that? They want all the good stuff, the warm, fuzzy stuff. But man, don't you dare say, you're kind of stepping out of line here. But that's part of the partnership we have to accept of the Holy Spirit. We were just in our freedom group this last week, and in the group, one of the group members talked about, you know, there's times the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, and we just ignore it. You know, and it might go days, it might go weeks, but we know it's always there. It's kind of nagging in the background. And He does that sometimes. When we don't submit, and maybe you're here today and He's been speaking to you about something, and you've been ignoring Him, ignoring Him, ignoring Him. Today is the day to say, God, I'm yielding. No more am I going to resist. No more am I going to run from the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16:8, after chapter 15, He says, when He, the Spirit, has come, He'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. He convicts of sin, what's wrong, righteousness, what's right, and that if you don't get right and you keep doing wrong, there is judgment happening, baby, so you better take care of it. There have been times when I've sinned and the Holy Spirit's convicted me. Maybe I've been selfish in our marriage. I haven't been a servant to my wife, Rebecca. Maybe I've been harsh with one of the kids. There have been times where God showed me maybe I offended someone. I said something or did something that hurt them. And the Spirit convicts me, you need to go make it right. You need to apologize. You need to make amends. There's times the Holy Spirit has convicted me on things I'm doing wrong. Sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, He reveals it to me. Many times through the Bible and prayer, the Holy Spirit works through those avenues to convict of right and wrong. Many years ago, the Spirit convicted me that I wasn't tithing on our health insurance. Our health insurance was being paid directly to the company instead of me getting the money and then paying it. By doing that, it was a great tax benefit, but I realized if I got the money, I'd tithe on it. By it going to the company, I wasn't tithing, and the Holy Spirit convicted me, you need to start doing that. And you know what? I argued with Him. It was about 9 months I ignored Him. And it didn't go well in our health, concerning my health insurance. I finally had to say, God, I'm giving in. Forgive me. I would have saved $3,000 of out-of-pocket expense if I had tithed on my health insurance. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you want to listen to Him. You want to follow His voice. Be in partnership with Him. All right, let's look at number four this morning. The fourth thing our partner, the Holy Spirit, does is He guides us into all truth. He guides us into all truth. John 16:13, it says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll guide you into all truth. This is different from teaching, because the teaching thing is what to do in different situations. This kind of deals with the truth you're reading. Now, two ways I see this is there's times I might be reading my Bible, or I'm listening to a sermon, and boom, the light bulb goes off. I see something, I understand something I never understood before. How many have ever had a light bulb moment before? Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit giving you revelation, revealing truth, showing you something you never realized before, or maybe it's something you did know, but you just forgot about it and you needed to be reminded of. So He guides us into truth. That way, He also reveals false teaching to us. Maybe you're reading a book or a magazine, you're watching something online or a TV preacher, and they say something, and maybe you, as you hear it, boom, you know what's wrong, and He brings to mind a scripture verse or a teaching that confronts that. And there might be times You don't know why it's wrong, but it just doesn't sit right. And you're going, man, I know what he's saying on the outside sounds okay, but there's something wrong about it. And that's happened to me on various occasions. Later on down the road, I'll hear a preacher preach on something, and they'll expose the false teaching that I heard, but I just couldn't identify what it was. That's how the Spirit guides us into truth. And that's why it's so important for you and I to be in our Bible and our prayer, those first two things, those dimensions of discipleship, because he reveals truth to us. And as you know that truth will help you identify false truth, false teaching, when the Holy Spirit says, hey, that's not right. Okay, the last thing I want us to look at, what the Holy Spirit does for us as our partner, is he is our empowerer. Our empowerer, who gives us supernatural abilities. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We need to actively seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a separate experience that takes place after salvation, after we ask Jesus to forgive us, after we give him the leadership of our life. The Holy Spirit, we need to seek that because Jesus wants to baptize us in his Spirit, where we receive supernatural power and a supernatural language where we speak in tongues. And when you look at the New Testament church, they were baptized in the Spirit and they did signs and wonders. They saw people healed. They saw the dead raised. They saw God do miraculous things. God wants his church to move in the same power that the first century church moved in. And we need to be seeking that. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus says, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And so many times, we think that's talking about praying for whatever, and right before that, he talks about, you need to pray with persistence. Don't give up praying. But the context of what to pray for is found in verse 13. Write verse 13 down, Luke 11, 13. He says, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? This is not talking about salvation. Because you see, when a person says, God, forgive me of my sin, do you have to persist in prayer and keep going to him over and over and over and saying, forgive me? You don't have to keep saying the sinner's prayer. No, you receive the Holy Spirit in salvation. This is talking about Holy Spirit baptism, that if you ask once and you don't receive, you need to persist in prayer. And it doesn't matter how many times you've asked, keep asking and don't give up. There are some of us here this morning, some of us watching online, we have gone down to the altar. We've been at camps as a kid. We've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we feel like, you know, there's something wrong with me. God just doesn't want to give it. So we stop seeking. We stop asking. We don't knock anymore. But Jesus said, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't give up. Keep asking for supernatural power. Because you have a purpose. And he just doesn't want to do battle with you and for you and counsel you and comfort you and teach you and help you, you, you. He wants you to make a difference in the lives of others. So seek for the Spirit, and as those who have it, we need a refilling. Ephesians 5:18, in the Greek it says, keep on being filled. I need to keep asking for a fresh filling every single day. You know why? Because I leak. You leak. We all leak. We need a fresh filling, so we need to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. I'm going to close this story with a story that Tim Enlow shares. He's an evangelist who talks about the Holy Spirit. He was with us several years ago, and he shared this story with us. Some of you may remember it. But Tim was saying, and the reason I'm sharing this is because it's just a powerful illustration of the partnership the Holy Spirit wants to have with us. They were in Indiana, Tim and his family, and they had a fifth wheel and a Freightliner truck. That way they could travel around America as evangelists with their entire family. And the truck broke down. There was a belt, this weird serpentine belt with double grooves that they needed to get the truck to run. They pulled into a truck stop. They got there, towed in, 6 o'clock at night. They just missed the parts truck. It had just left. It's Friday night. No parts are coming until Monday. But they needed to be back in Wichita, Kansas, because they flew out Monday to go to Asia for an overseas trip, their entire family. And so Tim is talking about them, about what can I do, and they say there's nothing. He says, what about getting a universal belt kit and we can make one? And they says, no, it's got double grooves and all this different stuff. It is impossible, you're stuck here. So Tim is just fit to be tied because these tickets for his family for this missions trip totaled $11,000. He needs to be back, and he's stuck in Indiana. And he is just so upset. He goes outside, and he's just fuming. He's angry. God, what's going on? He begins talking to God. And how many know that when you give God time and you talk to him and you wait on him, he'll settle you down, right? God settled him down, and he finally came to a place. He said, and this is what he prayed. I want to read this here. He says, okay, Lord, I'm just going to accept whatever the scenario is here. If you want to work a miracle and get us out of here, save our plane tickets, get us over there and back home, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Right now, my job, I just want you to know that right now I'm going to obey you here. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Even if I miss everything and have to stay here for the rest of my life, please, God, don't let it be that. But even if that's what you want, I will obey you in the now. Tim shared with us that night, he says, that's why a lot of people miss God, because they're always looking for the next thing. They're not obeying in the now. And the key to following the voice of God is that you do the last thing he told you to do until he gives you something else. And so Tim wanted to make sure that whatever he was doing in the now, he was obeying the Spirit so that it doesn't delay God's processes to bring other things about. And so that was his prayer. He gets done and he jokingly says, God, if you want me to be the prophet of the truck stop, I'll be the prophet of the truck stop. Ha, ha, ha. He goes into their camper, tells his wife what's going on. We're stuck here till Monday. And I mean, she's just, oh, I mean, they're so bummed. And that they just pray about it and God, we give it to you. So then Tim said, I was going to call the airlines to see what I could do, but I just felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit saying, wait. That's all he felt was wait. So he waits, and he waits, and he waits. About an hour later, he senses the Holy Spirit say, I want you to go back into the shop and go to the front counter to the lady that you first went to. So, yeah, and do what, God? It's like, just go. So he goes. He goes in there, and the lady's helping another couple. And as she's helping him, she's bragging about how last week she outdrank this guy in the bar. You know, and Tim's just waiting, and the couple gets done, and now it's his turn. What does he say? She's going, you know, how can I help you? What else can I do for you? And it's like, buddy, I already told you, you're stuck here till Monday. And he just says, you know, I want to thank you for just trying to help us in every way you can. And, you know, just, you know, he starts making small talk. How are you doing? And, you know, what's going on? How's the truck stop doing? And then he asks her, what's going on in your life? And this is a principle Tim shares. I'm going to share it with you. It's in your notes this morning. You can look at it. I've given it to you so you can take it with you. It says, if you want to be connected to what God has to say, you need to get into the anointing. If you want to get in the anointing, get in front of the person. Just start talking about them. Just start caring about them. Compassion is what uncovers the anointing. Just start caring and making small talk. Hey, How are you doing? Just start loving and caring about the person. Pretty soon they start to open up and the anointing starts to bubble up and God will show you what to do next. And so Tim says, how's your life going after a little bit of small talk? And she says, honestly, my life stinks. She begins to pour out all this stuff and Tim says, within 3 minutes, I was leading her in the sinner's prayer. She gave her life to Jesus. They get done saying amen, bring, the phone rings. It's the parts truck guy. And he says, I've got to come back and pick up a radiator cord that I forgot to get. And the lady at the counter says, hey, do you have one of these weird serpentine double groove belts for a Caterpillar engine? And he says, yeah, I just picked it up at my last stop. The place didn't have any use for it. It's a brand new part. I can have it there in 5 minutes. They came back. They start putting the belt on. The mechanic does, and the mechanic, his assistant is gone. So after it's on, he has Tim get up in the truck, and he says, I need you to fire it up because I need to check the tension on the belt. So Tim does that. He's sitting there, and all of a sudden, he feels another nudge of the Holy Spirit. Make small talk. So he just does and says, hey, how are things going? And Tim asks, how's your family doing? And the guy just begins to speak about his family in glowing terms. And then all of a sudden, the Lord gives Tim a name, Samantha. 7 p.m., Super 8 Motel. And he gets this sense of, ooh, this is not good. And he knows the Holy Spirit is telling him to share this word of knowledge with him. But Tim is going, God, can't he finish my truck first? I mean, this is a big guy, and he's got a wrench, okay? And Tim's a little fearful. He says, okay, Holy Spirit, I'll do it. So he says, hey, what's happening tonight with Samantha at the Super 8 Motel? And all of a sudden, there's this bonk. Ah! The guy's feet were underneath. He hit his head on the oil pan. He comes scooting out from underneath on his scooter, you know, underneath in the truck. He gets up. He's red-faced, and he looks at him, and he says, how did you know that? And he says, the Spirit of God told me. Tim said, I thought he was going to kill me. And he says, the Spirit of God told me. He says, honestly, I haven't done anything yet. I just met her online. This is the first time we're going to get together. We haven't done anything. Man, I'm a backslidden Nazarene. Oh, man, God, you saved my marriage. They talked a little bit. God turned the whole thing around. He gave his life back to Christ. They got the truck fixed, and they were back on the road, and they made it to Asia with their $11,000 tickets. You see, when our plan doesn't work out, whether it's something big like $11,000 or 11 minutes or 11 cents, whatever is going on, we need to partner with the Holy Spirit and say, what do you want to do here? What are you trying to accomplish? Friend, those two salvations, that salvation rededication, never would have happened in Tim's own ability. It took a partnership with the Holy Spirit, a yieldedness, walking with him and saying, God, I'll obey you now. How many of us would say this morning, I need a greater partnership with the Holy Spirit? Let's pray together this morning. Father God, I thank you for giving us Jesus to die for our sins, and we're going to heaven. That is so wonderful. And you've also given us the Holy Spirit to live in us, to be our partner, our senior partner. Teach us how to walk in the Spirit, to be in this continual relationship with him. Some of you here this morning, or those watching online, you're experiencing the conviction of the Holy Spirit this morning. Maybe you are a Christ follower, that there's been a specific area in your life that the Spirit has been pinpointing and you've been rejecting it. Maybe it's been for weeks, months, maybe it's just been a few days, and you need to say, God, forgive me. I will obey you. I will repent of my sin. I'm going to get right with you. There may be some of you, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been running from that voice. God's been drawing you, saying, I want a relationship. You need to commit your life to me. You need to surrender control of your life. You've been running from it. Maybe some of you, you haven't been running, but now in this moment, you know you need to get right with God. If you're here and there's anything, you need to say, God, forgive me. I'm going to submit to your conviction power, giving my life to Christ or asking for forgiveness of sin. I want you to raise your hand this morning. Just put your hand up in the air and say, I need God's forgiveness. I'm not going to run any longer. I'm not going to resist. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Maybe you're watching here online and you'd say, I need God's forgiveness. I surrender to Him. I'm giving up. I'm not going to fight Him any longer. I'm not going to resist. Go ahead and raise your hand to Him. Anyone else this morning in the house, you'd say, that's me. I need God's forgiveness. Father, I pray right now that you would offer us, God, that sweet forgiveness of our sin. God, sweeter than ice cream, and you give us the Holy Spirit. I want all of us to repeat this prayer this morning. Lord God, I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Take away my sin. Jesus, you died for me. I give you control of my entire life. I commit to following you. Give me your Holy Spirit. I love you, Lord. I want a relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.